Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Doing pretty good. We had some wind here and there, but I was looking at the weather coming up for next week.
Yeah.
And they're calling for 100 on Tuesday, 101.
Well, we've got to match the real estate market. It's got to be that hot.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yes. And I think I can almost take a deep breath again. And my voice should be somewhat back to normal this week.
Oh, yeah, because of the head over heels thing.
The cracked ribs from mountain biking I'm starting to feel like a real live person again. and you can't make me laugh. Still, if I laugh too hard, those that have done it before will know that is not a good thing.
Yeah,
so.
And you learn to inhale slowly.
Yes, and I also learned I'm not 20 anymore.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So
stationary bikes are the best.
Oh, now you're killing me on that one. I don't know if I'll go that far, but feeling good. And yeah, the heat wave is coming tomorrow, next week. I mean, I am one of those weird people that I do love it when it gets to that point. Mm-hmm. And so definitely looking forward to enjoying some of those. And I say I love it, but too, man, when this is where we get that outdoor living space and what I call the Tri-City Nights, mm-hmm. you know, where it's,
yep,
85 degrees on the back patio at 8:30 to 10. I mean, that's just good living right there.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely getting excited about next week and looking forward to that. On the opposite end of the heat, our celebrity home story of the week for hockey fans out there. Shout out to my hockey fans out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's playoff time, baby. So there's some good hockey on TV right now. Some really good hockey. They're bringing it right now. So I thought I would toss in there. I tried to find my hockey story, and if you've watched it all, Joe Thornton, who plays for the Toronto Maple Leafs, he's actually there on a 1-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a couple points, put up some points in the first round here. He played previously for San Jose for the Sharks. Mm-hmm. Two, just shout out to this guy getting it done. He's 41 years old.
Yeah.
And he's still...
Does he ride bikes
in
much?
Playoff hockey. You're killing me. Still in playoff hockey, get it done. But you look at his house that was in San Jose, hit the market earlier in the month for $9.5 million. This place is in San Jose, 1.3 acres, 6,400 square foot.
Wow.
Kind of Mediterranean style. Custom built in 2011, and it is absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous.
But did it have an ice rink?
It did not have an ice rink, but okay. It had a beautiful infinity edge swimming pool.
Ooh.
So I think, you know, he liked, you know, definitely whether the water was frozen or not, he liked it. But he played 15 years previously with San Jose. But, you know, you look at Canadian originally, border closed over the course of the last year, maybe going back up, maybe getting to play with Toronto for 1 year. And you look at the access of somebody in multiple countries with what we've gone through the last year, you start to see people make decisions like this, I think, that affect. It's not that easy to get back down to that house or to get back up to see family in Canada and friends in Canada. And so... So you start to see real estate decisions like that come out, and here's a classic example of that. So looking forward to see what he does the rest of the playoffs and kind of following that process as we go through that. We always like to pair that with a serious real estate story.
Mm-hmm.
So just for perspective, because a lot of people have talked about this and we've talked about it on the show, I always like to dial in and get an economist's perspective on inputs in what's going on with real estate. So Everybody's talking about limited lumber, meaning the lumber prices have gone crazy. You've seen the memes on Facebook and Instagram, you know, people like driving around with, you know, a pile of plywood in their back car. And it's like, I'll trade it for a Corvette, you know, because yeah. I know what I've got. It's so expensive.
And we're getting ready to replace about a, well, 6 or 7 boards on our deck.
Yeah, so you know.
And the wife's like, are we going to have to spend like $150, $200 to buy a bunch of 2x6s?
Yes, the answer is yes. But you look at what happens. And so when you look at the economics of it, a new lumber mill, you know, it's not like you can just magically produce one of those.
No.
And they cost several $100 million each, 2 years of construction. Don't expect a new supply to reduce prices that much. So, I mean, the best thing that you could expect for from an economics perspective is increased efficiency. But total North American capacity has barely budged since 2016.
Wow.
And it's well down from the peak was in 2006. And that resulted in the closure of the least efficient mills. There's no quick solution to this. And then I believe I saw in the last couple of days that we doubled tariffs on Canadian lumber. I mean, it just goes on and on. Mm. It's not looking like we will see much relief when you dig into that. So
don't be cutting down trees in any parks.
Yes, please not in the parks for sure. But that brings me to my next topic. And I just, you know, I really just couldn't ignore this topic because it's everywhere in real estate headlines right now. Because what people are trying to figure out is with prices where they are at, everyone is looking and asking, when are we going to see relief in housing? These mm-hmm. prices are crazy. These prices have gone up so much. In fact, Google search term housing crisis or, you know, housing issues. The search term has increased by 3,000% in the last 3 months. And so the next thing that everybody's going to is what is different about this run-up in prices than previously? Well, you have to go back and look at the availability of credit. We know that the previous recession was based upon the easeability to get credit. 40% mm-hmm. of loans pre-2008 that we were looking at were what they call subprime mortgages. Yeah. And so, you know, stated income, no doc, you know.
Adjustable rates.
Yes. And so right now, that number is less than 2%. So everybody's looking around and saying, okay, well, it's not going to be that this time. What are we looking to next? And when you look at all of the factors, the buzzword right now in all of the articles and what the experts in the housing market and the predictors are saying is they're all pointing towards inflation. Mm-hmm. They really think inflation will be the factor that changes this market right now. So I thought, okay, well, let's dig into that a little bit and then see what that looks like. And so then you start to see articles everywhere. For instance, Wall Street Journal last week ran an article that said investors buying real estate to beat inflation may find it a tactic that backfires. So you've probably heard in the past, and the one reason I wanted to do the show about this today is people say, well, hey, real estate is a great hedge against inflation. Because in the past, owners of residential and commercial real estate are often better off than owners of stocks and bonds because rents are typically tied to prices. So the rents will rise with inflation, mm-hmm. and that'll push up property income. Inflation, like we just talked about, also makes construction more expensive. So that benefits property owners because there's less competition from new buildings because mm-hmm. eventually they will be priced out of building those new ones. So other properties start to go up in the market. But it's not just that easy. So I wanted to look and say, okay, where are we at now? What does that look like when we dig into the definition of inflation and what drives inflation? And so there's really, I mean, there's three reasons that there is inflation. So the first one is something that they call cost push inflation.
Hmm.
And what this means is that as the cost of business rises, we just talked about lumber.
Yep.
So for instance, if a builder's building a house and his lumber package was $40,000 and the cost of the house, let's just keep the numbers really, really simple to make it, no house cost this much, but easy math. So $40,000 was the lumber. The builder was selling the house for $200,000. Okay. So now, so cost push inflation is now we've had lumber prices have gone up.
Yeah.
And they've gone up. So now that lumber package is $50,000. Uh-huh. So instead of $40,000, lumber package is $50,000. Before the builder was selling the house for $200,000. What do you think the builder will sell the house for now?
$210,000.
Because is he going to eat that loss if he can prevent it? No. So now he'll sell the house for $210,000. And so that is an example of cost push inflation. So he has taken those input increases and he's passed those on to the customer. So there's a lot of examples of that. I just gave an input, an example of inputs with lumber. You could also be looking at the workers that work for that builder might be asking for more money.
Mm-hmm.
They might be getting a premium. So
this is what we're starting to see with the minimum wage thing going on.
Okay.
$15 an hour, you're going to see increased unless they start to automate everything, but that's a different story.
McKay, you're absolutely, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, absolutely nailed it. Another example of that. Yeah, you're exactly right. So the inputs have gone up on that house. There's not enough margin in that for the builder to eat that, or eventually they'll go out of business if they're not mm-hmm. passing that along. So these are great examples of cost push inflation. The second thing, and so we just very easily, I mean, McKay and I are not expert economists, okay?
No.
We literally looked at this, at this definition, and then, I mean, we easily went boom, boom, boom. You're like, oh, that's simple. Okay, here we are. So the second factor that comes into play is what's called demand inflation. And so this is when inflation increases, when the number of people want something that the supply cannot keep up with.
That would be our housing market.
I mean, I don't want to say this is textbook, but this is freaking textbook.
Yep.
Okay. And so, I mean, this is like, I mean, I'm getting ready for the show and I'm brushing up on the topic. And I'm just like, I mean, like literally like hammer to the head, you know, palm to face emoji, mm-hmm. Lance. Like, I mean, that is demand inflation 100%. So what mm-hmm. we're looking at is some of the reason being because we went over in point number one, but some of the reason being in point number two is we just absolutely can't get them on market fast enough. The other thing that happens with demand inflation that increases it is tax breaks. So when there's tax breaks, there's increased income.
Mm-hmm.
And or another thing that can happen is the government injects more money into the economy,
mm-hmm.
but there's the same amount of supply that is going to cause inflation because mm-hmm. and especially this demand inflation. So all of the money that gets injected into the economy, but yet there's no additional units of housing produced, you now have more of those dollars chasing the same number of goods that was there before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it just the more and more that you go down and really look at this, and I didn't even get to the fall in interest rates because people have the ability to take out more loans. So
yes,
demand inflation is the second factor of inflation that we look at. The third factor in inflation generally, the third reason that we looked at is governments printing money, okay? And so they want to stimulate or create jobs, but you're increasing the number of notes that are in circulation. When that happens,
the value of the note goes down.
Yeah, you know, McKay, I mean, you didn't even have to read this stuff. You're a smart guy. You paid attention in
I read about the
classes.
Weimar Republic in Germany in the 1930s.
Yes.
A wheelbarrow full of money would buy you a loaf of bread.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've seen examples with the jelly bean, you know, that on Monday it was, you know, a dollar. And on Tuesday, I think at one point they had 1,500% inflation. On Tuesday, it was like, you know, $10,000. And on Thursday, the jelly bean cost as much as somebody's house had cost on Monday. And so this is a factor that people are definitely looking at. And then you've got to say, why is this a problem? You know, if everything inflated at the same rate, at the same time, there would theoretically be no harm. Prices, products go up, wages go up.
So what about the value of the property?
And the value of the property. So if we look at this in a situation and we say, okay, gosh, house prices have gone up, you know, 12%, you know, year over year for the last 3 years. I'm using rough numbers here for our market, but let's call it even 10% to make the math easier. So you look at that and say, okay, has entry-level wages for first-time home buyers gone up 10% every year for the last 3 years? So you look at now a disparity that is happening, potentially causing these inflationary factors and the role that housing is playing in that market. So we need to pay attention to that and also look at what that means. And what comes into play here, and the big difference for today's show, is what I'm going to get into after the break, and that is inflation versus appreciation. So we spend a lot of time looking at inflationary factors, but what does the definition of appreciation mean? And is that happening at the same time? And also, what percentage can we account for that is actually in the value of those home prices? We're going to break that down when we come back from our first break. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today, we've been taking a stab at one of the big theories in real estate right now and in the economy. And that is what we call inflationary pressure on prices. A lot of people are asking, what's this bubble about? What's different? Are we in a bubble? Are we not in a bubble? And what's the key factor and the role there? So a lot of finger pointing is getting pointed at inflation. Before the break, we kind of went over the three factors historically that cause inflation. And it was pretty simple for John McKay and I, not the smartest guys in the room, I mean, usually, to go through and say, you know, even I can see that, you know, all three factors have varying degrees of just aha moments for, you know, for the market right now. Now, the factor that's not in there, which a lot of people miss, is what part of my property is going up because of inflation, and or what part of my property is going up because of appreciation. And so I just really wanted to kind of look at that at a very simple level. I like to break things down to a simple level and say the difference from what we talked about before the break with inflation and appreciation is inflation is something that happens to the marketplace and the supply of money and demand. Appreciation is really something that happens to the actual property. When people talk about, gosh, in general, you know, prices in Tri-Cities have generally appreciated, you know, pre-4 years ago, you know, 3 to 5% a year. And so you look at that and you say, okay, what would happen to a property? So a couple factors that we look at with appreciation, and number one factor is, say, infrastructure development. Let's look at, say, just a very basic example for our local area that would cause appreciation. Let's say that you were the owner of the Road 100. I'll just call them the sand dunes, and hopefully you're local enough to know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know, I mean, when you go out past Delta High School and you go Road 100 and you see those sand dunes out there, master plan development, you know, it'll keep Lance Kenmore will have a job for the next 20 years, you know, because there's going to be houses to sell and properties to sell and things to manage. But when you look at that, say infrastructure development, that land was worth X number of dollars. But now, you know, if we go back 10 years ago, there wasn't an extension of Road 100 there too. And now there is. So now you've got roads going around that piece of property. And now the city's bringing sewer out there. So there's some appreciation from infrastructure development. The price of that property has naturally appreciated because you have had new connectivity, new roads, new access, new sewer. So infrastructure development is one of those categories that can cause appreciation.
Make a price of a plot of land rise because all the amenities are there.
Absolutely. Your vacant land or lot backs up to bare dirt, but the city decides to put in a park back there. So they come in or it was planned for a park, but not in yet. So now there's grass and sprinklers and a play area and a park for you to go enjoy that you can access from your piece of land. Appreciation, something that happened to the property. The second factor that comes in there is available amenities. A great example is, let's take a townhouse that has covered parking. Townhouse has covered parking. That is one amenity. Mm-hmm. But certain townhouses then have garages.
Ooh.
Okay, so that is something that has happened to the property and cause that to appreciate. Or you have, we just talked about the great weather we're going to have next week. So you've got an extended back patio and a covered pergola. Appreciation. You have invested into a property. You've done something to the property. And that even goes back to the basics of appreciation from upkeep. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've kept the property in good condition, so it's appreciated with the market. It's more valuable because it's in as good or better condition that you had when you bought it. So those are factors. Those are the two big factors that will add to appreciation. The third one that I wrote down is additional local development. So you have commercial building that comes on. So now you have new amenities, you have new stores in the area. You have an arts and entertainment district. So you look at what's going on at Vista Field.
Yeah.
And so the infrastructure that they've added there and the streets and the amenities, you'll start to see additional businesses and restaurants and housing going there.
So all the people along Medellin are probably going to see their property values go up.
100%. And those, you know, and most of them have already been approached by crazy realtors that say, let's sell because they know that the local development is going to cause increased appreciation there. And so when you really look at those three factors, we've been actually pouring gasoline on the fire because we've got what we feel like is some inflationary pressure that went on. And then we've also done in the Tri-Cities a great job. And prior to this happening and stuff, an amazing amount of appreciating factors at the same time. And so we're seeing, in my viewpoint, we're seeing a combination of inflationary pressures along with appreciation, which has really caused kind of this Goldilocks moment of pricing here. Mm-hmm. Do I know exactly where we'll end up with inflation? You know, the reason everybody is talking about this is because, you know, when the April numbers were released, you know, the Labor Department, they reported that there was a 4.2% annual increase in April consumer prices. So that increase is the highest rate we've seen at 2008. And so that's really what kind of set the alarms off for everybody to be talking about this and looking at it and trying to figure out where do we go from here. And right now, it's a combination of all of those factors. The thing that you really get into and you start looking at with all of that is everything is firing at the same time. So I wrote down cost of materials, cost of labor, productivity, exchange rates, falling interest rates, buying of government bonds and printing of money. I mean, it's like the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. If I went down that list and said, here's all the factors, you're going to say, holy Hannah, I think we have all of them right now. And so that's really likely what we're going to be looking at. I thought it was worth the discussion today because we're seeing a lot of it. And you know, people want to know what's happening there, and myself included. And so when we really kind of dig into it, that's what we get to as kind of the major factors that we're looking at. It's super interesting stuff. It allows me to kind of nerd out and geek out on my economics. I was an economics minor, and so I love digging into this stuff and kind of taking a look at it. And I think as of today, that's the best examples that I can give. Before we run out of time, I do want to get in a quick pick three.
Okay.
Because we've put on some awesome inventory. We've got some great properties up near Prosser. Mm-hmm. And so we service that area. We've had a lot of amazing sales and clients up that direction. And this is one that I got to tell you is just absolutely stunning. 180 feet of private riverfront in Prosser, 1.75 acre retreat, beautiful quality home, 4-bedroom, 3-bath. It's a 0-step rambler, so no steps in or out of the house.
Wow.
2 master suites, vaulted ceilings. It's just 2,800 square feet, so it's almost 3,000 square feet, 0-entry rambler on the river. The biggest problem that I have with this listing is every single person that goes out there does not want to leave. The listing agent that went out there, Curtis was out there, is like, Lance, like, I did not want to come home. I finished up all my work and I wanted to stay there for 2 more hours and sit on the back patio because it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Then my photographer goes out there, writes me a note at the end of the day. I'm checking in. How was your day? Well, it was great until I had to leave the Prosser listing. I took all the photos. I wanted to stay out there all day. I mean, that is what this is. I mean, guys, it's just that is the feeling that this property can give you. Meticulously maintained landscaping, awesome owners, variable speed HVAC system,
wow.
High efficiency. I mean, it sound nice? Sound no, it's not. It's beyond nice, serene, peaceful. And that's coming in riverfront, almost 2 acres at $849.9.
Wow.
It's just hard to get that anymore. And just to keep with the theme, if that's just a little bit higher end budget than you're looking for, I've got another amazing Prosser listing. Now, this one is not on the river, but you're going to like the price. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath plus an office on 7 irrigated acres.
Wow.
Gorgeous views of the Horsehaven Hills. 2,600 square foot, absolutely covered porch living. Once again, a very well-maintained home. LVP flooring throughout the great room, the office, master bedroom. I mean, they've just gone through and totally decked this place out. You've got 2 oversized covered patios. We were just talking about.
Yep.
This is the weather you want to be in with that type of stuff. And so that is coming in at $599,900.
Wow.
I mean, there's houses with 0 acres around here that I'm selling for $599,900.
Yeah.
If you want to go just a little bit outside of town, near Prosser, near the wineries, near the great views, $599,900, that's a fantastic one. And then pick number 3. Here's a great comparison, actually. So here in Kennewick, a great lot to build on. 5.6 acres of irrigated CID, pressurized irrigated lot. Great views, panoramic views of Kennewick. Fantastic location to build your house, shop, pool. Bring your animals. Lots of possibilities for micro farming or huge gardening. And that's coming in 5.6 acre parcel in Kennewick, and that's coming in at $340,000.
So wow.
you can be here and we can build your own custom. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a ready-made one for you a little bit outside of town in Prosser. And so, I mean, there is some awesome summer inventory that's coming on the market right now. We have been absolutely inundated with inquiries and appointments. I can tell you that there's some great inventory coming the next couple weeks. So we look forward to, if you've been out of the market a little bit or a month or two ago, you were frustrated with the inventory levels. If you want to be on our list for upcoming, what you're looking for on that hot list, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We'll get you with a buyer specialist and get you on that hot list and help get you into your dream home. With that, we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.